named Hipparchus, made a map of the stars. 300 years ago, his maps were used to discover that some stars had moved with respect to the others. The stars had been thought to be fixed on the dome of the sky, but the maps of Hipparchus proved that they weren't. Later this year, the European Space Agency will launch a satellite that also will map the sky repeatedly and continuously for 2.5 years. The mission is called Hipparchos, in honor of the Greek astronomer. The satellite will map more than 100,000 stars and search for minute changes in their positions. All the stars are moving, but their movements are hard to detect because they're so far away. The stars move on the dome of our sky for several different reasons. They're traveling through space and changing direction relative to our sun, which is also moving. What's more, as we orbit the sun, some nearby stars appear to shift their positions on the dome of our sky because our viewpoint on them changes. This is called parallax, an apparent shift in an object's position due to a changing viewpoint, and it can be used to find the distances to some very nearby stars. Data from the Hipparchos satellite will be so accurate that it'll let astronomers calculate more precise distances to these stars. Finally, a star might shift its position if it's orbiting a common center of gravity with an unseen object. In this way, the data from Hipparchos may help find planets orbiting other stars. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are productions of the MacDonald Observatory at the University of Texas at Austin. And for the MacDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Black.
Now we're going to the recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
have reached 1 has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Is viel besser.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welche sind die Regenbogenfarben?
This is a test.
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Okay. Enough of that. Dog's out of here. God. Tell you, the place just gets... When Tony White comes in here, I don't know, he brings all these friends of his with him. Listen to this. It's a madhouse. People expect to, hear classical music of all things. And when I'll tell you something, when the classical people are here, all hell breaks loose. I mean, but you should see the kind of people that are into classical music these days. You see people with blue hair. You see people with red, white, and blue hair. See people with no hair at all. It's scandalous. Mozart is whirling around somewhere, wherever he is. Anyway, that was a mysterious ID from the past that you just heard. That was when USB was kind of a nasty radio station, where we always insulted our listeners. We always insulted everybody connected with anything in the outside world. But we don't do that anymore. We just insult stupid people out there. Of which there's still quite a fair number, but we try not to let it bother us. Well, hi there. It's brain damage time. It's 10:08 and 4 degrees Celsius, 39 on the Fahrenheit scale, and I found the weather forecast. Wasn't easy, but I found it. And for those of you that don't know what's going on, And you're the people that we really cater to, the people that don't know what's going on, because we kind of relate to that kind of person. Well, it's right now it's partly cloudy. Yeah, it's partly cloudy outdoors. The lows will be getting down into the mid-30s, and for tomorrow, partly sunny, high in the mid to upper 40s. And tomorrow night, increasing clouds with a 30% chance of light rain towards morning. And for Monday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of light rain, high in the mid-40s. Don't know when winter is going to begin, but not anytime soon. We will be taking your phone calls at 632-6901. If you want to reserve a line now, feel free to call in and let the phone ring for a few minutes before we get to you. That's perfectly okay. We have all kinds of things to look at today. Let's start with today's news. The latest news from the Associated Press. Those marvels of newsmakers come over the teletype machine. Well, it looks like the Soviet Union could be entering the final week of its military presence in Afghanistan. Diplomats say Soviet troops should finish their withdrawal in about a week, well ahead of the February 15th deadline. They are efficient, aren't they? Amid the prediction, Soviet Defense Minister Dmitry Yazov is in Kabul, that's the capital of Afghanistan, reportedly to talk with Afghan officials about the pullout. With the Soviets leaving, Afghanistan's rebel war shows no sign of letting up. Rebels fired rockets into Kabul today, and it wasn't to celebrate. And embassies around the city are either being evacuated, as is the case with America's, or reinforced, as Iran is doing to its embassy. It's time, a PLO official says, for talks with the U.S. to move to a higher level. The Palestine Liberation Organization's Mahmoud Abbas today proposed that the talks be moved to Washington. Yesterday, President Bush, oh, I still have trouble with that, President Bush said it's too soon to consider upgrading the discussions which began last month. There are indications that a proposed settlement could be in the works for the federal government's unprecedented racketeering suit against the Teamsters. One top official of the nation's largest union resigned today, and a source confirms that other Teamsters leaders have been summoned to Washington to discuss a settlement proposed by the Justice Department. Let's see what else. 6 days of jury deliberations in the New York child murder trial of Joel Steinberg, and there's still no verdict. Today, the jurors asked the judge in the case to explain first-degree manslaughter, the second most serious charge Steinberg faces in the death of his illegally adopted six-year-old daughter. They then asked him to explain life itself. But that's not going to come till Monday. Noah Robinson, Jesse Jackson's half-brother, has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. The sentence was handed down in Greenville, South Carolina today in connection with the attempted murder of a woman who witnessed a slaying. That's right. Robinson had also been charged in the killing, but a mistrial was declared on those counts when the jury failed to reach a verdict. Technical problems are threatening to delay the Space Shuttle Discovery's late February launch until March. NASA says it'll probably replace at least two of the three liquid oxygen turbo pumps on Discovery's main engines, and sources say that could mean a delay of 10 or more days. And NASA workers switched the focus today from the upcoming Discovery flight to the mission that didn't make it. For 73 seconds, hundreds at Cape Canaveral stood silent, remembering the 1 minute and 13 second flight of the shuttle Challenger. It was exactly 3 years ago that Challenger's crew of seven died when the shuttle exploded. And I completely forgot that was today. 3 years ago. That's the latest news from the Associated Press. And it's 12 minutes after 10 o'clock. Brain Damage is the program. We're with you until 12 o'clock when the brothers are up next. Lobotomy and all kinds of other fun things. We got some special tapes today. Actually, we got them a couple of days ago. And they're special because they came from a far place, a very far, distant, mysterious place. That's right. I'm talking about Moscow. The tapes actually came to us from Radio Moscow. And we're going to play a little bit of it, and maybe we can talk about some of it later. A couple of minutes worth. You'll notice the difference because we have played Radio Moscow before on this radio program, and it's always been over the shortwave, and you can always hear all the static and the voices going in and out. But now it's the actual tape. In fact, this is the actual tapes that they play on their own radio service. So most incredible. Probably we're the only station in the United States, I think, that plays this kind of thing. So Well, at least the only station anywhere around here that plays that kind of thing. So I'd really like to hear what people have to say about this. A few minutes of Radio Moscow here on The Voice of WUSB.
And now here are some reports from the home scene in the USSR. A conference in Moscow on farming problems has concluded that there are all the economic and social prerequisites in this country for dealing with a food problem, the most important problem of agrarian policy. The conference, attended by the leaders of the country and Soviet republics, scientists and farming experts, conducted a profound analysis of the situation in farming. Most of them call for extending leasing arrangements and responsibility contracts in farming in order to increase production on the farms and enable farmers to feel that they really own the land. New forms of management in farming will make it possible to unravel the potential of the basic Soviet farming enterprises, the collective and state-run farms.
The government has adopted an unprecedented decision to shut down the Armenian nuclear power plant, the largest in the Transcaucasus. In December 1988, when the catastrophic earthquake hit Armenia, tremors measuring 5.5 points on the Richter scale were recorded in the vicinity of the plant. They did not damage the plant, but nevertheless it was decided to close it. The director of the station, Miran Vartanyan, told Radio Moscow that had the epicenter of the earthquake been in the area, the consequences would have been terrible. Now the plant will be converted to burning fuel and generating electricity.
112 carriers of the AIDS virus had been registered in the Soviet Union among Soviet nationals by the end of 1988, along with 334 foreigners. This has been announced at a news conference by the foreign ministry spokesman Gennady Gerasimov. Most foreigners have now left this country. 5 people suffering from AIDS have been registered, 3 foreigners and 2 Soviet nationals. Gerasimov also said that as of January 1st, foreign nationals and people without citizenship arriving in the Soviet Union for more than 3 months and holding no certification for AIDS will have to take AIDS checks in this country. And there we end this review of the Soviet media compiled at Radio Moscow.
Caught me off guard there, didn't you? That's the way it is over at Radio Moscow. You know, they have tight endings, and they have lots of nice corny music in between all the features. But that was significant. That was a very significant piece. I mean, I hope people sat down and listened to that. They mentioned a nuclear power plant in Armenia. They're converting the plant to another type of fuel because of the risk of an earthquake. Now, here we have nuclear power plants in the San Andreas Fault in California, and, of course, NRC will not even consider shutting those down or turning them into oil-burning plants or something more safe. The Soviet Union has realized the danger that an earthquake could pose, a really bad earthquake could pose to a nuclear plant and to the people around it. So I think with Chernobyl, with the Armenia situation, there will be some definite rethinking of nuclear policy over there. And the question is, will it be brought about over here? Also in that newscast, you heard a mention of AIDS. And, of course, not very many people in the Soviet Union seem to have AIDS, only less than 100 people, I think. Some crazy number like that. But the fact that they are mentioning it, the fact they are talking about it, means that they at last realize that being silent is not going to do any good. Silence equals death. So, changes, major changes in the Soviet Union. And we actually got a few tapes from them. We'll probably be airing those throughout the broadcast week in the coming weeks here at USB. Now, getting back to nuclear stuff, I don't know if anyone caught the New York Times on Tuesday, but in case you saw people screaming, beating their fist into the wall and perhaps committing other violent acts, it may have been because of this editorial in the New York Times this Tuesday. The most outrageous piece of garbage I have ever read in a newspaper. Now, that sounds like an exaggeration. That sounds like an emotional statement. But, folks, I can tell you. I've done a lot of reading. I've read a lot of newspapers. And this got me so upset. Oh, it was awful. Really awful. I hate to tell you what I did when I read it. I don't have to tell you. Thank God for that. Although you may read about it, but let's just get into this editorial here, because this is awful stuff. It's all about Shoreham, you know, that monstrosity to the east. The nuclear power plant that's all finished and ready to start up what it does. And many people don't want it to do that. And this may be the year that we finally find out this what in the world is going on. This is how the New York Times sees it. Long Island faces a paradox of power, political and electrical, of national consequence. Its generating capacity has so narrow a margin of safety that blackouts could begin this summer. Are you scared yet? That's right, blackouts could begin this summer. A remedy is at hand in the form of Shoreham, the Long Island Lighting Company's 800-megawatt nuclear reactor, which is already operating safely at low power and ready to move toward full power as soon as it gets a license from dawdling nuclear regulators in Washington. But New York's governor, Mario Cuomo, is determined to block the reactor from opening. He has orchestrated a campaign to coerce Lilco into scrapping Shoreham while laying off much of the cost onto American taxpayers. I mean, can you imagine if we did it to French taxpayers? It wouldn't make much sense. American, well, I don't know what this nationalism is they're trying to instill in us, you know. Just, why can't they just say out the taxpayers? What's this American garbage? I don't know. It could all come to a head this week in negotiations over a court case. I don't think it did, because I haven't heard anything about it coming to a head. If so, if a deal is reached to dismantle Shoreham, the public will know whom to hold chiefly accountable, Governor Cuomo. He has hardly been alone in his naysaying. Long Islanders have for years made opposition to Shoreham a credo for election to political office. Now, that's a very important statement right there. Long Islanders have for years made their opposition known. Okay, save that in your buffers. That's an important statement. We'll be getting back to it in a second. But had he wished to, the governor could have made a different choice possible by helping educate voters to overcome exaggerated fears and by demanding extra precautions to assure the reactor's safety. So what the New York Times here is saying, those Long Islanders that have voted to make their opposition to Shoreham known are wrong, and they should just be sidestepped, because their fears are exaggerated. The New York Times knows what the rest of us don't, that all of those fears that we have about nuclear power and radiation and all the unknown elements, incompetence and neglect in the construction, the New York Times knows better. And for that reason, the governor could have made a difference by helping to educate voters to overcome their exaggerated fears. The latest scene in this strange tragedy opened last fall when Mr. Cuomo hesitated to doom Shoreham single-handedly. He wanted to share the political responsibility with the legislature. The legislators refused, contending that his closure plan was too generous to Lilco. They also know but cannot say that a major new source of electric power is urgently needed, that Shoreham is the only one immediately available, and that after thorough inspection and improvement, it is probably safer than most of the reactors Mr. Cuomo's government already helps to operate in New York. And now Mr. Cuomo hopes to revive the deal by exacting more money from Lilco. He uses as a club a racketeering fraud case in which Suffolk County charged Lilco with having lied about the cost of Shoreham. The judge recently ruled against Lilco. Federal District Judge Jack Weinstein has not yet announced whether he will sustain this verdict. If he does, others will be enabled to sue on the same grounds, potentially exposing Lilco to $4 billion in damages. Okay, now comes the good part. Long Islanders have long wanted to have things always on Shoreham. They aspire to close it, to avoid paying the billions it has cost to build, and to continue enjoying reliable power. Who can save them from their folly? Who can indeed save us from their folly, from our folly? Well, Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. This is the meat of the matter here. Are you ready? The Nuclear Regulatory Commission could still take a constructive step by giving Shoreham its license to operate at quarter and then full power. Did you hear what I just said? The Nuclear Regulatory Commission could still take a constructive step by giving Shoreham its license to operate at quarter and then full power. Now, go back to your buffers that you stored earlier about Long Islanders making their opposition to Shoreham known. Now the New York Times is saying the NRC could take a constructive step by ignoring that and giving the power plant full licensing power. It's simply incredible. Even with a license, LOCO might use the threat of opening Shoreham merely to improve the terms of its survival and still scrap the reactor. Before the plant to operate, LOCO needs political support from some quarter and a show of independence by New York's Public Service Commission. Independence from the public, apparently. As for Judge Weinstein, his honorable course is neutrality on the political issue of whether Shoreham opens or closes. That weighs against his approving any settlement that requires closure. Who else is to represent the public's interest? Oh, God, the hypocrisy here is just, it's oozing out of this thing. Anyway, this is their final prediction. The chances for such an outcome are remote. Most probably, LOCO, desperate to save itself, will cave to the politicians and the court. Shoreham will be closed. Blackouts will start this summer. And Long Islanders, so long determined to have everything go their way, will pay and pay and pay. Well, that's about the time I started throwing up. Made quite a scene over there in the middle of the mall, but that's just the way things go sometimes. This article is disgusting. Not article, it's an editorial. Has absolutely no conception of what Long Islanders are saying. Long Islanders have for years wanted that plant not to open, not to continue being built. I was one of 700 people that got arrested back in 81, 80? Back then, in that rainy day in June, where all these people climbed the fence at the Shoreham plant to protest its opening, to protest its construction. That's not new protests. Those have been around for almost decades now. And it's only been recently that the Suffolk County government and the New York State government have gone along with the public's wishes. If the NRC grants a license over the will of Suffolk County, over the will of New York State, and over the will of the people, it will be a very sad day for democracy. Now, folks, we possess in our power, or we possess in our hands, a power that's quite a force to reckon with, and that most of us have. That's a simple pen and paper. I hope people listening write to the New York Times and tell them what they think of this kind of statement, that the will of the people should be bypassed. Now, of course, you may agree with what they say. You may think that the plant should be open. But I don't think that view is in the majority anymore. Maybe at one time it was, but now I don't think it is. And for the Times to write from their office in Midtown Manhattan why all these Long Islanders are wrong, how they should be educated, and how the NRC should ignore them is a crime in itself. I don't think you should cancel your subscription, because then you don't get to read the good stuff they put out. And they put out a lot of good stuff. But when they do something abominable like this, you got to respond. You got to say something. And I just wish I had the address of them. Oh, well. Look in any copy of the New York Times. Oh, all right. Hold on. This is a public service for this radio station, for our listeners. This is a public service.
Your telephone, Miss Katie.
Hi, Miss Katie. We need the number and the address, please, of the New York Times in Manhattan.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, the address is 229 West 43rd.
229 West 43rd. And their number?
Executive and General Offices,
The number is area code 212-556-1234. Area code 212-556-1234.
Thank you, Miss Katie.
If you need further assistance...
That's not necessary. Thank you anyway. Okay, I don't have the zip code for you. I'm sorry. Don't have the zip code. I don't like to encourage people not to write the zip code, but if you don't write the zip code, it's still going to get there anyway. It might just take a day or two longer. I mean, I don't have the zip code. I'm sorry. All these postal inspectors, I can feel their wrath already. I don't have it. It's not in my head. There's a formula. There's a formula you can use to figure out the zip code. And no, that's to figure out what avenue you're on. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. 632-6901. It would be nice if we had some kind of comment, feedback. Am I right in saying these things? Am I wrong? What do you think? Brain Damage is the show. 632-6901, area code 516. That's the number. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. This is Mike in Miller Place.
Mike in Miller Place. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So I hear there's comments on the nuclear power plant.
Yeah, now you're pretty close to Shoreham there, aren't you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, I take it you don't like it then.
No, not really.
How did you hear the editorial that I read bits of?
Yes, it was kind of long, but yeah.
Yes, I did cut out, you know, the boring parts, but I read the outrageous parts, I think. I mean, what do you think it stands right now?
I wish they just turn it down, you know, just like all the way down, you know, turn it off.
Yeah.
Take it apart piece by piece.
Turn it into a daycare center or something.
Well, yeah, that would be pretty funny.
Now, if you were given this option, where you had to pay, say, I don't know, you know, what do you consider a lot of money? Everyone has different. Is $100 a lot of money?
Not really.
Okay. Well, if you were told for $100 of your own money, that plant would go away, would you pay $100?
Sure.
That's really what the argument has boiled down to: whether we want to pay a certain amount of money to close the plant, and. To be honest, I would pay 50% of what I have to my name to close that thing. I mean, if it boiled down to it, I'd probably give away everything just to get rid of it, you know, because it's not just a financial matter. It's a health issue. We don't know what the possible problems of such a nuclear plant could be.
Uh-huh, yeah.
We just don't know, you know, and until we do, I don't think we should be taking chances. I mean, you know, they're uncovering all these things. I don't know if in this very same newspaper, in the New York Times, they tell you about how there have been accidents at plants in South Carolina 20 years ago. They never bothered to tell anybody, and now it's just coming out that there are these serious accidents that make TMI look like nothing. That doesn't make people very anxious to have nuclear power plants in their backyard.
I don't know, I think they should just hit it with a lightning bolt or something. Maybe.
Well, I don't know if that would be a good idea for us, but I don't know, I wish something would happen. But, you know, we can thank the heavens for one thing, that Jamesport was never built. They did want to build one there. They wanted to build one, I don't know, somewhere in Nassau County, I think. And also, if you ever go to New York City, take the Queensboro Bridge, look at the smokestacks there.
I know, I've seen them.
Right by Roosevelt Island. They wanted to make that a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, imagine that.
Tells you something about the mentality.
Yeah. Hey, did you ever get that tape from my friend Mike? You probably know him.
Yes, I did.
You did? Did you edit it up?
I have it, and I will be listening to it. I get lots of tapes from all different parts of the world, as you probably heard.
Where's the furthest you've got a tape from?
Well, we just played one from Moscow.
Yeah, but did they actually send it to you, or did...
Got my name on it.
Did you write them, or they heard your show? Over?
No, they didn't hear my show. I won't claim that they heard my show, but... They are aware of this radio station. They do know that we play all kinds of things.
And they're aware that you play their stuff. That's good.
Sure, sure. And that means something, you know, because where else are you going to hear their views, their way of looking at things?
How come it's not spoken in Russian, you know?
Well, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to understand it.
What did they do, a translation or something?
Yeah, it's directed towards us.
Uh-huh.
This is what they air on their English service of their shortwave.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that every country has an English language version of their news.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the story about them closing the nuclear power plant in Armenia. I didn't see that anywhere in any newspapers. It was completely missed.
Yeah, exactly.
That was that's a very important, significant thing that we should look at.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, sure, I'm kind of getting to a point of, like, it's being a joke.
I know. I just wish it would end.
They're like, yeah, it's going to close down, and then... 2 days later, they're like, yeah, we're going to open it up again. Who knows what they're going to do?
You know what we need? We need some kind of one of those rallies again that just shows that everyone is still in agreement on this.
There's a math teacher from my school who was in that rally. He got nailed. It's pretty funny.
He got what?
He got nailed.
Nailed?
Yeah, everybody calls him Jumpin' Joe.
Uh-huh.
Because he hopped like a million fences to get away.
Really?
Yeah.
But he got caught, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
What did they do to him?
I don't know. I never really asked him.
Well, when I was part of the, I forget what the number was. It was a magic number, 613 or something, back in whatever year that was, the early 80s, where all these people got arrested in the pouring rain. And the whole thing was an amazing experience. Nobody ever really got charged with anything. We all just sort of were told not to get in trouble again and for 6 months, and everything was forgotten about.
Yeah.
And it was very pleasant. The police, the sheriff's people, they were all nice to us. Some of them were wearing anti-nuke buttons, you know.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah, I wish they'd just, like, close it down. They should make, like, you know that movie Delta Force? They should make, like, a nuclear power plant force.
Uh-huh.
Drag it down.
That's true. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling, sir.
I'm all right. My friend Mike said he met you. He said you're a really nice guy.
I am a very nice guy.
Yeah.
But thanks for reiterating it.
All right. I'll see you later.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Our talking about this issue apparently has demonstrated some interest outdoors. I don't know if you can hear it over the air, but there seem to be a mass of people outside our window now chanting and demonstrating. That's good. It's good to see that kind of interest. People spontaneously go to the streets. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's something. Wow. Can you hear that? I mean, I'm pretty far away from the window, too. God bless you all. Close the window, please. I can only take so much of that. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, it's Andrew Goldberger.
Andrew Goldberger, where have you been? Where have you been?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it in a while. I'm glad I did. I
haven't heard you in a long time.
I know.
Boy, you know, we were wondering if you moved away or something.
Yeah. So you're talking about nuclear?
Well, we are for now, yeah. We're just, you know, the editorial in the Times just got me so, so angry.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think this nuclear power plant stuff really is stupid. Because, I mean, I don't think we should have more power than we can control,
uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Well, now, what do you mean by power? Do you mean the power that it generates or the sense of control that it has.
Used to be like war with just like bows and arrows and stuff and fist fighting, but now it's like I don't think there should be any war, first of all, but like this is getting too much. I know it's just like they're gonna control power, but like how can we have power now with I just don't think they should have it, you know.
Well, it seems pretty obvious to me that the people in this general area don't really want it, either for economic reasons or for safety reasons. And I think we can use both of those and add up to very solid opposition to the plant, and that should be enough. I don't know what all the argument is about.
Neither do I. I mean, it's safety. Like, if someone drops a lit cigarette in that place, now all Long Island is underwater.
Well, I don't know. That's not exactly true.
But it could probably put a big enough hole in it to sink
well,
it.
Well, let's say the Israelis got mad at us or something. You know, they're in the habit of just bombing things and you know, talking about it later. They did it to an Iraqi nuclear power plant under construction. However, if a nuclear power plant was bombed, actually, you know, bombed, you know, and destroyed and all the plumage went up into the air, it could be a very disastrous thing, similar to an earthquake. So a terrorist could conceivably cause a lot of havoc on Long Island and a lot of be responsible for a lot of lives.
What is this? I heard it from one of my friends. 10 Mile Zone. What is that?
The 10 Mile Zone is it starts at the plant and all around. That would be the area that would be evacuated in the event of an accident. Now, you see these little sirens up on the side of the road, these strange sirens that go around in circles, and occasionally they're tested, and people don't know what they mean. That is the 10-mile zone. Now, the county contends that it should be 20 miles. This was back when they were talking about the plant as if it could possibly open. They say 20 miles is the safe zone. Loco says it's 10 miles. And as far as I'm concerned, whenever you start talking about something where you have to evacuate because you don't know what the danger is, you have to start rethinking. Do we really want this thing in the first place?
I know. It's just a big hassle. I mean, what did they do in the 1800s? They didn't have electricity, or what, 1700s, whatever.
Right, but there's no need to go back to that. There's no need to say that we're going to be, you know, surviving
with candles. No, but don't we have enough energy already? Like,
well, I think we waste a lot of energy, and I've turned down some of the lights in the studio tonight just to demonstrate that point, because, you know, you can always save a little bit. You can, you know, remember when cars were gas guzzlers, when everybody got 10 miles to the gallon and nobody really cared because gas was cheap? Well, now you have the economic cars, and everyone gets like 30 or 40 miles to the gallon, and they, you know, the cars are still kind of big, some of them. We just adapted. We changed, and that's what mankind is all about, adapting without taking unreasonable risks.
Well, my brother Mark, he was watching his program that says another big thing, like it's not nuclear or anything, I don't know, but the ozone layer.
Yeah.
And that in the year 1950, it's going to get really, really hot. 2050.
Your brother's younger than you.
Yeah.
Okay.
The year 2050, everything's going to get hot and... you know, like summer, it'll be the greenhouse effect.
The greenhouse. How old is your brother?
He's 7 years old.
7 years, and he knows about the greenhouse effect.
Yes.
Huh? That's incredible.
Years
8 years old. I'm sorry. That's really something. I'm impressed by that. I'm horrified by the greenhouse effect and by the ozone layer being depleted. But at least we're learning something about it.
And spread the word. Don't use those spray cans that are like that.
I don't think there are any left, but one thing that does contribute quite a bit to depletion of the ozone are air conditioners in cars.
Yeah, hairspray.
Industrial freezers and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of things that we have to change in order to keep the planet alive. Any other thoughts, Andrew?
Just want to just to say hi to Dave Vigilio, if he's listening.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll call back next week.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're back with us.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. Andrew Goldberger. I forgot what town he was calling from, but irregardless. Medford, yes, that's it. Right, Andrew? Medford. 632-6901. We're talking about Shoreham and safety risks and all kinds of things like that. It's 19 minutes to 11 o'clock. Our number is 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Plunge into the depths of despair.
Uh-oh. You're a pessimist, sir. I can tell.
Doomsayer.
Okay.
This conversation's going to get emotional tonight.
Yes, it is. I'm on a soapbox.
You already know what I'm going to say, so I guess I'll just skip that.
Yeah, we might as well just, like, hang up now, because we all know what you're going to say.
We need Shoreham, Eric. Come on.
Now, wait a minute. Look, you're a pessimist, right?
Eric,
You have gone on record as saying you're a pessimist, and that you think that people should kill each other to make more room, and that wars are natural, and disease and pestilence and plague are all things that we should get used to. Now, this kind of person supports the opening of Shoreham. Need I say more?
Where is the energy going to come from? Where are we going to get it? People want their cake and they want to eat it too, and people want to see things way they want.
Tell me something, sir. What makes you think Shoreham is the only alternative? Who has told you that Shoreham is the only way to get power?
What are we going to do? We're going to burn coal and we're going to mess up the atmosphere and get more of a long-term damage. It's either short. There's no escape. If you want, I've said it 1,000 times, if you want this many people, you're going to have necessary evil. I don't know why people can't face the facts. I don't understand it.
Now, why is solar power something that has not been developed?
I don't know.
Why, because it doesn't...
Right,
it's not profitable, because energy could be so plentiful if that was developed to its fullest capacity.
Well, I'm an electronic tech, and I know that right now it's just not economic.
Right now it's just not... I've been hearing that for years. When is it going to be feasible? When are people going to start pouring some money into that and developing it?
Expensive to make right now. They're just so expensive.
Isn't it worth the expense? You name me one risk that solar power causes to the public. One risk.
Yeah, but you need so many of them to get any power out of it right now. It's just not It's just not marketable yet.
Now, people are not going to be able to live near Chernobyl for hundreds, maybe thousands of years.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Well, is that a risk worth taking?
What?
Think of the unease that people are going through at TMI right now because they don't know for sure what their kids are going to look like and what's going to happen to their grandkids.
Now, wait a minute. Well, like I said, these are the things that are just going to happen. You can't escape these things.
Sure you can. You don't have to be stupid. You don't have to build things that can hurt you that you don't know the risks of.
You don't have to procreate like this either, but there's nothing new.
Well, that's a related issue, yes. It all involves, thinking ahead.
But
you can't change what is happening now. I mean, these people are here. You can't get rid of them.
You talk about solar energy. There's an example you can look at. There's a car that General Motors make. I think it's called the Sunrunner.
Uh-huh.
It's the longest running solar powered car, and it's the fastest. It costs several million dollars to develop that thing. Now you can see that solar power is definitely, it's the sidelines now. It's waiting for a breakthrough. But getting back to Sean, though, now wait a minute. How come nobody's complaining about what's been going on over at Brookhaven Lab for so long?
What's been going on? You mean with the waste?
They've got a nuclear power plant over there.
Well, they have a very, very, very low power nuclear. I mean, it's like, less than 1% of what Shoreham is now, I think, and Shoreham's operating at 5%. I think the big problem with BNL is they truck out some waste, some nuclear waste. And that's the other thing. Where do you put all this nuclear waste? Every nuclear power plant generates waste.
Well,
nobody knows where to put it. No state wants to take it. It winds up in South Carolina for some reason, and the people there aren't very...
We need these things. I think Sean's safe. I was in the Navy. I don't hear anybody complaining about the submarines in New London. That's relatively close. I worked there for 2 years in Groton, Connecticut.
You were?
I was on those submarines.
Uh-huh.
How come nobody's protesting that?
Now, wait a minute. A lot of people are protesting. If you read the newspapers, you'll see that people are getting arrested there almost every week protesting those submarines. Those are horrible creatures. Those things can destroy entire cities. They're just war machines, and
I hate that. What do you? I wish we could get rid of all the nuclear bombs in the world myself. As much as you think that I'm a pessimist and we should kill each other off, that's not my point. Education is the point, but it's totally impossible in my view to. You can't tell people what to do. They're all in their own little world, and they're all.
You can't expect everyone to agree, but you can have a positive way of looking at things, and you don't have to. You don't have to always assume the other guy is going to get you. You can look at it in a different way, and I think we have to in this day and age.
But I'm telling you, where we're going to get this? What we're going to do? We're going to burn fossil fuels. I mean, did you watch Nova? I mean, do you study these things? Do you see what's going on? I mean,
I'm not a nuclear technician, but I don't think I have to be to realize that there is a very big risk here, and I don't think it's worth it.
Just either way.
And if it boiled down to having to do with do with less, I would do with less. But I don't think it has to boil down to that. I think there are solutions if we funnel the research in the right direction. I mean, maybe we can harness the solar power in outer space and somehow channel it down here. I don't know. We should be looking into these things, though.
Microwaves. Well, the sun's a nuclear reactor, so
I know, but we don't live there, do we?
No, we don't. Of us.
Maybe we could have nuclear reactors in space, and I mean, I'm not saying that we should abandon nuclear technology completely at all. I mean, I think there is a very definite future for nuclear power. A lot of scientists believe that's the way space travel will be powered, but it's something that we aren't completely familiar with yet. And to start risking the civilian population for these scientific experiments, I don't think is a good idea.
I mean, it reminds me of abortion. It's the ones who are against abortion that you hear scream the loudest, just like Shoreham. Because I know that there's some people out there that believe that Shoreham was put together. I'm sure there's a few flaws here and there, but I think that they exaggerated by Newsday for the purpose of fictionalizing the whole thing and getting people afraid.
Well, let me tell you something. Newsday supported that plant up until a short time ago. I think they finally dropped their staunch support of Shoreham. They went against what everyone else on Long Island was saying. Now, you say that they exaggerate the flaws of the plant, but one flaw in a plant, just like a flaw in a space shuttle, can be disastrous. So a tiny little flaw can cause, you know, a holocaust of some sort. So it's not an exaggeration. It's just the fact that every little thing means so much more in such a huge technological monster.
Well, they went crazy with the crankshaft crack. I mean, that was just a diesel engine that was backup power in case there was a problem in the plant.
Right. And, you know, it's a chain reaction. Something goes wrong, then something goes wrong with the backup, and then it just keeps happening.
Well, that plant is supposed to be foolproof.
I really don't like things that are foolproof because they almost never are.
Well, I'm still going to stand up for Shoreham. It's tough. It's tough today because you got so many people against it. It's good that you stand your ground, but I have to say that it's a necessary evil. If people want their electricity, they're going to have to get it from somewhere. If they really, really want to impress me by complaining about Shoreham, I would like to see those people disconnect Wilco from their house. Then I would really listen to them, and I'd say, okay, these people are really making a point. But until then, they're just complaining, and complaints don't cost anything.
Well, I think they can disconnect Wilco. There are communities. Rockville Center is one that generates its own electricity. The State University at Stony Brook generates its own electricity. I believe Grumman is building its own power plants. It's possible. You don't have to pay these exorbitant rates, and the rates are not going to go down with this nuclear plant at all.
I would have a lot more respect.
Let me just ask you one final question. Given your position, if the majority, the vast majority of people and the majority of local government and state government don't want the plant open, do you think it's justifiable to open it anyway, like the New York Times suggested?
Say that one more time.
I don't know if I can. I'll try. The vast majority of Long Islanders don't want the plant opened. The majority of local and state government don't want the plant opened. So is it justifiable, is it conscionable to open this plant without any regard to their feelings?
I answer that the way I think, the way I see it.
Go ahead.
Well, I would think that the people that are against it are prone to the sensationalism they read in the paper. Don't know enough about it to make it a sensible judgment, and then the government would just want to look good politically.
Yes, but is this a democracy or is it not? You know, you're saying that
it's true.
Everyone is opposed to this, but they're wrong anyway.
Right, then it should. You're right. Then it should go. I'll have to. You're right. When you say democracy, I'm glad you pointed that out. Good point. You're right. The majority should rule. I mean that's what this country is all about. Good point, Eric.
Okay. Well.
So I'll have to go along with that. I mean, I can't argue that. But when you bring democracy in, you got me. Okay,
sorry about that. I didn't mean to deflate your bubble.
That's a very good point. That's absolutely correct.
That's what it boils down to, though. You know, the fact is, most people don't want it. And, you know, if the NRC was to just open it without, you know, without regard to those feelings, it would just, I don't know, it'd be horrible.
That's the bottom line. You got a good point. But I still feel, in my eyes, that the technological, it's there technically. It's a good plant. It had a few problems. I'm sure that, you know, they got it under control. I know you've heard that before, but this is supposed to be an advanced plant, you know.
Uh-huh.
This is the way I see it.
I'll tell you something. I was in the plant. I was actually inside the plant. And you gotta wonder about Loco letting somebody like me inside that thing. I saw the way that it's operated, and you know, to tell you the truth, I was really impressed because the thing is one huge machine, and it's so incredibly big. It just goes on forever.
I'll bet you the safety in that thing is almost to the point where it's redundant, to say the least.
Maybe so, but the thing is, it's such a big contraption, you know. It's impossible for one person to know all aspects of it, and it's so easy for communication to break down in a situation like that, in a place like that.
Well, if I was in the Navy, and I was on board a ship that ran by steam just like that does, and there's casualty controls that you go through, and you learn them, and everybody's got their own watch station, and there's things that you do.
Yes, but this isn't the military. These aren't military people running it. These are civilians.
Most of these people were nuke sub sailors. I'll bet you if you asked any questions in there, you would find out that most of the people in there running that plant were ex-nukes from the Navy.
Well, how about the people falling asleep in the nuclear plants we read about in the papers?
They're falling asleep on watch, yeah, I know.
You know, there's some very real problems. Anyway, I want to move on to some more calls, but thanks very much for calling.
Bye.
Okay, 632-6901, that's our telephone number. And we're talking about that monstrosity, that old familiar monstrosity that this island has been known worldwide for, the Shoreham nuclear plant. Boy, is it ever going to go away. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
It's the know-all, see-all, do-all of radio. No, it's not Joe Franklin. It's Mr. Radio. Hello there, Mr. Doom and Gloom, Eric Corley.
You're calling me Mr. Doom and Gloom. I'm the optimist. I think that the people here can say what they want to say and be listened to and actually do something positive.
You're painting the picture of doom and gloom. You are, pouring out propaganda against Lilco and Shoreham, which I don't go for. I mean, I respect your opinions. You're a professional. You're a former criminal. I mean, I respect you. You've been arrested for a cause which you believe was proper. I don't agree with you, but I do respect your opinions, but you're giving us too much propaganda. I think you're not letting people from Lilco call in, and how you don't have anybody from Lilco here, do you?
I don't have anybody from the Shoreham Opponents Coalition either.
Did you ask anybody from Lilco to appear on your show?
I didn't even know I was going to be talking about this until 10 minutes before the show, so, you know, it wouldn't be fair, but anyone from Lilco is just as welcome to call in as anyone else.
A lopsided thing, everything...
It's not lopsided. I mean, I'm reflecting what the people around here are saying.
No, you are making assumptions.
I am giving my opinion, and I am allowing other people to give their opinions, like you are and like the caller before you did.
Generalizing that everyone's, anti-Lilco. It's just you people at USB, who your 25 staffers who work at your radio station. This radio station, I've been listening for over, 10 years, okay?
Uh-huh.
77. Every time I listen to your station, it's anti-Shoreham. I mean, get with it. I don't hear anybody else. I mean, your management there...
You don't hear anybody else where?
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is, you don't let the other side... It's all
that's
anti...
Not, no, that's not true. We've had Lilco people up here. We've had Shoreham forums.
Oh, let me hear the tapes.
We had, what's her name? June Jane, what was her name? Jan Hickman, that's it. She was on one of my programs. Jan Hickman, we had, I think Ira Frolicker was in our studio once.
Ira on the show?
Sure, we've had people go back and forth. We've had big debates on this thing.
Yeah, these people. How come Ira is not in the studio tonight?
Because we didn't plan this out. And this is not a debate. This is a discussion between our listeners and myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm allowing people to express their opinions, much as I'm allowing you to express your opinion. What is your opinion on Shoreham? Tell me.
Opinion is, hey... Let's try it. Hey.
What do you mean, let's try it? This isn't a cookie. Come on, this is a Shoreham nuclear power plant. You can't just turn it off one day. If you try it, it's a bit beyond the fact there.
Hey, I may not be as a technical whiz as you, Mr. Corley, okay? But let's go for it. I'm an American. I'm a Republican. God bless a Republican. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If you anti-Lilco people, if you pablum-puking liberals...
Now, wait a minute. If you are a Republican, you should be concerned about the cost factor. This plant has cost this island so much money, and it will not stop costing it money when it gets started.
Oh, there's the propaganda. There's the propaganda. Mr. Doom and Gloom, Eric Corley, a former criminal who once was arrested back in 1981 for protesting this Shoreham plant. I don't want to hear anything about that. You're making me sick. You and those liberals over there at the radio station are taking control of the airwaves and splurting nothing but propaganda over the airwaves, and I'm outraged over this.
You're a little outburst.
You're making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. It's just it's a spontaneous eruption in another part of the studio.
Because I'm pro... See, there it is. There it is. The old propaganda. Anybody who's a pro-Shoreham gets all the jokes made. It's because it's the liberal philosophy of this radio station, which I don't like. You know, I love this radio station, but one thing that really irks me, gets my water boiling, is the management here and their anti-Shoreham strategies. And I'm upset. I'm outraged. And boy, I'm... fed up with the crap.
Can I interrupt you for a minute, fool? Sir. Now, we don't have a particular policy here at the station on any issue. Anytime you hear somebody saying something, it is their opinion. It is not the station's opinion.
Oh, zip it.
There is no station policy on Shoreham.
Okay,
other than to say what is on your mind and to allow other people to say what's on theirs, and that's what we're doing here tonight.
Wait a minute.
Now, please say something relevant, because I do have a lot more calls to go to.
Oh, now, see, now the old rush, everybody else gets 20 minutes of material.
Well, you've been babbling now for a long time about nothing in particular, so please get on with it.
One other thing that really, two things that irk me, is these new, which you are pro of these new gas pumps. They're driving me crazy. I hate these stupid
pumps. Oh, I do, too. I hate those pumps with a passion.
No, but you were saying, oh, it's a great for the ozone and the greenhouse.
Well, look, let me ask you something. If using those gas pumps helps even a little bit of the ozone layer, don't you think it's worth it?
No, it's not worth
it. It's such a slight sacrifice. I mean, it takes you a little bit longer to pump the gas. Okay, can you live with that, or would you rather get skin cancer in 10 years?
I'd rather get skin cancer. Number three.
I agree with you there, actually, but go ahead.
When you're doing all the news and the doom and the news and all that crap, you didn't mention something that was very exciting that happened in the past week or two.
Well, let me see if I can guess what it might have been. We had a new president. No, that couldn't have been it.
Oh, no, you're missing it. It was something more important than that.
Let's see. Somebody die?
More important than that.
Someone was born?
More important than any of those
someone
things.
Was born again? Let's see.
Here's
Super Bowl.
The topic which you your radio station skipped over.
I know, the 3D halftime show.
Almost as important as that.
Does anyone have glasses out there? Please send me your glasses, because I taped it and I still haven't seen it in 3D.
I'd love
to see it. I don't know.
News item which happened in the last 2 weeks, which your station never mentioned. Norm Abram has his own TV show, and I'm happier than a dog over this. Norm Abram, who used to be with Bob, well, still is with Bob Vila in this old house on public television.
Uh-huh.
I support that program. It is one of the greatest programs ever to be aired on public television, and I'm happier than a dog. I love Norm Abram. I love Bob Vila. These two people are master carpenters, but Norm Abram does have a beer belly, but that's his only drawback. But Norm Abram knows how to fix everything. He is a master carpenter, and I think you should have him on your show.
Well, that's something to consider.
Have you ever seen Norm Abram in action with that hammer?
Never have.
When he hammers, his belly moves in unison, and it's beautiful to watch. Well, that's it. My material's washed up. I got to get out of here. I got to go to Shadows and boogie, oogie, oogie, oogie. Okay, people, this is Mr. Radio, also known as Steve Springfield. You love me, you hate me, you can't live without me. I'm out of here. I'm history. Morton Downey's great. Joe Franklin's great. Dave Feeder rules.
Now, never let it be said that we don't give those people airtime. I don't know why we do, but we do. Someone ought to get on the phone to Shadows and tell them to get some extra security down there tonight. There'll be some demonstrators heading over there, I think. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage, and you just heard why. 632-6901 is our phone number. We're talking about Shoreham, the nuclear power plant. There's a demonstration going on outside our windows right now. How you doing out there? Right on, yes. Oh, boy. It's quite a night here at the radio station. 632-6901, area code 516. How about some of you folks in Connecticut, huh? You've got nuclear power plants. In fact, your nuclear power plants could pose a threat to us. It's true, Milford. It's just across the sound, you know. That thing goes, well, we'll certainly be watching it, you know. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. You're talking about the power plant tonight.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I thought, I think the government should do what they did with AT&T and break them up as a monopoly.
Break up Loco?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you were saying how a couple of areas have their own power stations and everything, but for most of the island, I don't think most of the island has a real choice over power company.
I think if they, I don't know anything about how this works, but I think if a particular town or community wanted to generate its own power somehow, they would be able to, and in fact, Loco has to buy the excess power. That much I know.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to get something like that started, but, you know, energy co-ops are things that are occurring in various parts of the country. It does bring the costs down. There are options. To say that there are no options to Loco, no options to Shoreham is wrong. There are options. It takes a little work to get them started, but there's definitely other ways to go about it.
Yeah, because now that if they don't get Loco, you know the rate hikes that are going to happen afterwards.
Uh-huh.
You know, because if they lost all this money, there's no way that they're not going to pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, I don't know. If the company goes out of business completely, are there any rate hikes left after that? You know? Maybe that's something to look at. If we wipe them off the face of the globe, maybe there won't be any rate hikes. I don't know. Maybe we can just start from scratch again with somebody else. That might be a very naive way of looking at it, of course. But the first and foremost thing in my mind is just get that plant away from us. You know, keep it from opening. It's, you know, maybe preserve it as a museum or something. Show people what it's like. But it was a mistake from the start, and I just wish more people had known that at the start.
Yeah, well, what was it when they gave it to Schwamm, when they proposed it, they said, oh, well, we'll give you all these breaks. Is that how they got it? I'm not sure. That's what I've heard.
Well, I know the Shoreham Wading River School District gets a tremendous amount of tax money from Loco, and they benefit quite a bit. And, you know, it's with mixed feelings that people in that district talk about the plant, because, you know, to oppose it is to say that they don't want to get all this tax money anymore.
Right.
But, I mean, look at the rationale behind that. Is that a reason to support something like that just because you're being paid off? You know, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
And we're outside, here in Stony Brook, we're just outside the 10-mile zone, but I know I don't feel very safe by that. I don't think radiation is going to stop at the 10-mile zone and just, you know,
stay
there.
I think the whole 10-mile zone thing's a joke. If you live east of that thing, there's no place to go. You're going to jump in the ocean and swim for your life.
Yeah, take the Orient Point Ferry or go somewhere there, you know. It's not going to be a pretty sight at all. It's unique here. It's because this is an island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most other parts of the country, you can go in different directions. But this is an island, and it is dead-ending people on the east end. But all over the country, people are very worried about nuclear power plants. Look at Seabrook in New Hampshire. That's not an island, but people are very upset there. That plant is maybe one step further than Shoreham. It looks more likely that plant will open, even though the governor of New Hampshire doesn't want it to open, and all the people there don't want it to open. It looks like it might anyway, and that will be a tragedy if it does.
Yeah, well, it all boils down to, does the government control business, or does business control the government?
Very good question. And what do the people control?
Really?
Because obviously the people here are favoring one side. It wasn't always that way. You know, at the very beginning, I wouldn't say very many people opposed nuclear power, but after seeing what could happen and hearing different sides and, you know, having a chance to digest it all, the mood changed. And when the mood changes, you have to respond to it. They're responding to it in the Soviet Union, finally. It took them a long time to do it, but positive things are coming out of it. And I think the mood can change just as easily here. Okay?
Yep, well, give you a chance to get some more callers.
Thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. And let's see who we have here. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to speak to Eric Worley.
Okay. Well, do you want to be on the air?
Yes, I realize that. I'm calling to contribute something to your show.
Okay.
I think some of your listeners might appreciate a Monty Python song called You Can't Play This on the Radio.
Sir, may I ask you, just where in the world are you?
I'm in the Continental Divide. Can you believe that Jennifer's ex-boyfriend Fred is, like, late? I was supposed to meet him here at 10:30. Do you have any idea what time it is?
It's 11:07.
That's really rude.
It's really rude.
I consider that insubordinate behavior. What do you think?
Very insubordinate. Sir, well, I don't know if you're able to hear our station over there, but we're talking about nuclear power plants. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, I think that nuclear power plants and nuclear power is bad. I don't think there should be nuclear power plants, just for the reason that if one of them were to blow up and we were to all die, it would be a really horrible thing. And we don't want another Chernobyl on our hands, and we don't want babies running around with four arms and three eyeballs. Don't you agree, Eric?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I don't know if it's the way I choose to look at it, but yes, that's an opinion, all right.
Well, what do you feel about it, Eric? What's your personal opinion on nuclear power?
I'm very concerned about the implications, and I want to do what is right for the people around here. I want to follow what the majority feels. And,
I see. So you don't have a personal opinion yourself. You'll just go along with the majority.
Oh, I have a personal opinion. I'm anti-nuke. I don't like Shoreham at all. I don't like any nuclear power plant. But in this particular case,
self-image with the people around him.
In this particular case, I think the people have spoken and they should be listened to.
I see. Is this because you're on the radio, or is this your personal opinion always?
Well, I'm saying this right now because I'm on the radio. Obviously, I wouldn't be saying this to a wall if I was just at home or something.
Oh, I see.
So,
what is WUSB's policy? Well, I realize WUSB can't have a policy on nuclear power because it might be too controversial, but if they could, what do you think they would say?
Well, interesting you should phrase it that way. Well, this station has a history of not being run on nuclear power. I think we survived this long without being nuclear powered. I think we can survive the next 10 years without being nuclear powered. You know, we don't need it. We don't need it to operate. We can keep everything running. You're listening to me on non-nuclear power, you know?
You're listening to me on non-nuclear power, and I'll tell you, this world has been around for billions and billions of years with nuclear power. And the fact that one nuclear generator could destroy the entire world, right, which has been around for billions of years, destroy a portion of the universe, or the galaxy for that matter, the galaxy or the universe for that matter, or the solar system, it's pretty nasty. But guess what? He finally arrived, so I have to sign off, and I want everybody to call 632-6901 to be on the air with Brain Damage.
Well, thank you.
And every Saturday from 10 to midnight.
Thank you very much for calling, sir.
This is your host, Eric Corley, signing off.
That's really something. He wasn't Eric Corley. I'm Eric Corley, and that was our correspondent in the midst of the crowd. I guess I should have asked him to sample the opinion of the crowd, see what it was they had to say. You know, it's always good to know what people have to say. Yeah, we know what you have to say. Well, are they ever going to go home? People just gather outside our windows sometimes, you know, in solidarity. Well, we appreciate that. But it's not a station policy, so don't make it seem as if we're the ones saying this. It's just my personal opinion. Oh, this is a person screaming. She's got quite a voice, kind of like... That's a future Lena Lovitch, I think. Oh, I guess. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, Eric. This is Rich from Massapequa.
Rich from Massapequa. How you doing?
Called last week.
You did?
Yeah, with Toothbrush Stolen from Finest.
With what?
With the toothbrush stolen from Finest, remember?
Oh, right. Have there been any developments in the stolen toothbrush?
No, there hasn't. You know, they put a post about he's wanted. It's Teddy the Wonder Lizard.
If you go through Finest here in Setauket, you will notice that the toothbrush aisle has been cordoned off with those little police cords that say police line do not cross.
Yes.
And, you know, there's detectives, undercover detectives in the store now.
Yes.
But as far as I know, they still have not found the toothbrush.
Okay.
For those
who don't know,
we reported this last week. There was a stolen toothbrush in Finest. They reported it to the police, and we don't know anything further about it.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as, Shoreham goes,
uh-huh.
I'm totally against it, because their evacuation plan, you know, is really uncoordinated, as far as I'm concerned, because how is everyone going to pile onto 25A at once?
Well, I don't think they'll be able to, but the thing is, it's never been tested. It's only been tested on paper, you know, so how can you even consider something like that valid?
Yeah, well, you know, they've had ideas, I believe, of building bridges over to Connecticut, you know, from Shoreham, I guess. You know, that might be an idea.
Uh-huh.
You know, then Highway I-95 in Connecticut will be crowded with people.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it.
Do you think building a bridge is a good idea?
Not really.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, next to Shoreham, that's the idea I really hate. And, you know, that's something else. I've taken exception to Newsday because... You know, in addition to supporting Shoreham, they support a bridge across the Sound. And they say the same thing pretty much that the New York Times said on Tuesday, that the people have to be re-educated because this is what's best, regardless of their opposition.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because we don't want interstate traffic going through the island, going over bridges. We don't need it. We're surviving just fine without it. Yes, the island is a dead end. Fine. It's an island. Let's live with it.
Yeah.
You know? And we can take ferries. They're going to be having tour buses going over on the ferry now to Connecticut.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't care, you know, as long as they don't build a bridge.
Oh, pile onto the tour buses, right?
Yeah, who cares?
You know, also, about, you know, the way Shoreham's built.
Right.
It's, in my opinion, it's filled with spit and gum, basically. It's a very dangerous plant as far as a lot of people around here are concerned. I also live in Miller Place. And, you know, it's just very dangerous. When it was under construction, I've heard a lot of people's opinions about how it was actually constructed. And, you know, everyone I've talked to believes it's very dangerous.
Uh-huh.
Even at low power, it leaks. You know, not a very high amount, but it does leak. You know, and kind of stuff is dangerous, especially if you're living in Shoreham.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And you know, the closer you are, the more hassles you face.
Exactly. All right. Well, I waited since 11. Well, since 10:28, and I finally got through it this time.
So. A lot of callers. I think it reflects the the urgent nature of this topic.
Yeah,
this is
really,
you know, it's something the whole world is watching, you know.
Yeah. It's been around the world, Shoreham, I'm sure. Everyone knows about it by now. Over deliberations. And I think it just should just stop, and they should just close it and get it over with, you know, because they're wasting a lot of money, you know, with all the things they're trying to do. And when they were trying to take it out on the taxpayers, as far as if they close it, who would pay for it?
Uh-huh.
I think that was absurd, because they didn't want to take it out on the stockholders. They didn't want to, you know, make them lose money. But when any business goes under, you know, the stockholders suffer. And I don't think there should be any other, you know, any other way that who suffers would be the stockholders. You know, they shouldn't make the taxpayers pay, you know, for all the money they put into it. You know, it should be the stockholders.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
632-6901. That's our telephone number. And good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. Bill.
Bill?
Bill Fox.
How you doing, Bill?
Not bad. You?
Oh, not pretty good.
That's good. You gotten over the editorial?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, you're not that good then. Oh, let me just turn down my radio because we're getting a little feedback. How's that?
Fine.
Better. Anyway, two things.
Yeah.
Both related to the whole Shoreham issue. I was coming back from a camp trip.
From a what trip?
From a camping trip.
Okay.
Yeah, a camping trip from Moypex, which is in Wading River, about half a mile down 25A. From the plant, and they were at that time doing a drill operated from the military base, which is just about across the street from Shoreham. Well, not quite. It's like it's down a block from the high school, from the school and library, Shoreham Wading River School and Library.
Yeah.
And I found it amusing because you had because I stopped in the deli and there were like 12 soldiers standing in the deli buying stuff.
Soldiers?
Yeah.
Okay.
While all these other emergency vehicles were, you know, mostly military emergency vehicles were, you know, dealing with the drill. I just found that very amusing. And all the tie-up on 25A just because of the response to the drill. I found that rather amusing. And the second thing is, well, how conscious are we, or how insistent are we about democracy? It wasn't too long ago that we had a Marine Lieutenant Colonel tell us that he knew what was best for our foreign policy, and he was going to take care of it, and he took care of it, and people were calling him an American hero. I mean, the next step from that is calling him Fuhrer. If we're going to say, no, we don't trust our own democratic process in terms of foreign policy, we'll let somebody take, excuse me, his own action determining what our value system is.
That's a very undemocratic way of doing things, correct?
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. You know, are we going to let the people's voice be heard or not?
Yeah, the other thing connected with North is the whole Federal Emergency Management Agency plan. I don't know how familiar you are with that because it didn't get a lot of publicity. He was instrumental in basically... what conditions of an emergency, a federal, a national emergency, would be undertaken. Basically, it would be basically a military coup. And things that would be classified as an emergency would be, one of the things classified as an emergency is widespread dissent of U.S. policy in Latin America. Which I, you know, basically, okay, well, if enough of you disagree, we'll just take over the government and we'll do it. You know, basically, and people didn't raise an eyebrow with that.
Well, it's a lot easier not to, you know?
Yes, this is true.
Okay, well, thanks for your opinions.
Okay, then I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, this is Scott calling from Quorum, and,
Calling from where?
Quorum.
Quorum, okay.
Yeah, I really don't think they should open the plant. Because they say the 10-mile zone, I've seen, it's a lot more than 10 miles. You know, I've been reading, and it's the range from a blast, from a plant like that, at full power, could just wipe out most of the island.
You say blast, but the really scary thing is when there really isn't a blast. It's just a release, you know, and you can't hear that. You can't see that. You don't really know when it's happening. And as the people somewhere, I forget which state it is. I think it's South Carolina, but it might be someplace else. They're just finding out now that something happened 20, 30 years ago that was very serious, and they had no idea. It was never told to them. The thing with nuclear power plants, they can very silently, they can be deadly silently. What I'm saying, they don't make any noise when they release death, you know. So that's the scary part.
Yeah, because how
long have you lived in the area, sir?
Oh, 6 years.
6 years, and I guess you've heard a lot of arguments both ways.
Yeah, I just don't think they should open it. It's like I don't even really care because. You know, it's going to go off. We're dead, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because there's no way they're going to get 3 million people off the island that quick.
No, I don't think so. And there's no way they're going to correctly ascertain the situation in the first few minutes. Even though the chances are so slim, what they tell us, I just am not reassured by that.
Yeah, because by the time they find the leak, you know, we could be having babies with three arms and three apples.
That's something, yes. Well, you know, your voice can be heard, and I encourage everyone listening to write letters. Certainly write to the New York Times and tell them how you feel about the editorial they ran on Tuesday. Call up your legislators and your state senators and your regular senators, and just let your voice be heard because it does matter. Every little bit counts.
Yes, I gotta go.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, Mr. Corley. I'm with the Society to Preserve the Integrity of George Wilson.
Who's George Wilson?
And George Wilson is seen in the comic strip of Dennis the Menace.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, okay.
Yes, I'm very involved in the business of comic strips.
Okay.
We are fighting American Press Syndicate to cut down on these slurs against George Wilson.
Well, speaking about comics for a second, I'm very upset that Newsday cut Andy Capp. Why did they do that?
Because they had to put Pogo back in.
Well, you know, they could have put Pogo and Andy Capp back in. They could have just, you know, made room for maybe got rid of the cryptograph or the horoscope or something. I don't know. Or printed one of them sideways.
Yeah.
I could have lived with that. But Andy Capp was a funny... Well, why don't they get rid of Archie? You know, Archie is such a stupid comic. It really is.
Well, you know, I'd be very touched to see any comic strips going. I was quite content with the format they had before, with all the comics they had, but...
What format was that?
They had Andy Capp.
Yeah.
Back when Dennis the Menace was respectable.
Yeah. Back when Peanuts was respectable.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, that man, he has no class.
That man is senile.
True.
He hasn't drawn a funny script in strip in years. It's been years.
I'll agree with that.
It was magic in the 1960s. That was the best. It was like Calvin and Hobbes is now.
Yeah, true. Doonesbury has gone to pot.
Doonesbury is dead. Forget it.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah. you can believe those people aren't laughing at Doonesbury. It's... It's just not funny anymore. What else? What else is in there?
Well, we're urging listeners to voice their complaints to Newsday and several other metropolitan papers.
I suppose as long as you're writing those letters, you might as well talk about the really important stuff.
Yes, George Wilson is a very special man.
He sure is.
Yes, okay. Good night, Mr. Corley.
Good night. George Wilson, by the way, leads a double life. Do you know what else he does? I'm not going to tell you. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Wait a second. Let me turn down my radio.
Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to tell
that pessimist person, that he said one thing that was right, and he should be worried about Brookhaven Labs. I'm surprised that people aren't paying attention to what they're doing there.
Now, I imagine you know something about what goes on there, so why don't you tell us?
Well, I've talked to the people who knew family members that have died, you know, from working there, and the place supports the family now and gives them money and everything. They've died from cancer, and
died from cancer from what?
They claim people that they're testing on the workers. I'm not too sure, you know, but I've heard a lot of stories that they test on the workers, and I know people who live in Ridge who horseback ride through trails around there, and they came on areas where there were 55-gallon drums that were leaking, and there were just signs all over the place saying, danger, keep out radioactive material and everything. But since then, they put up fences and everything.
Oh, fences are really going to be pretty helpful. That really sounds...
But it's the federal government, and nobody's going to go and see what the federal government's doing. In the 70s, they did an investigation, they said, and, you know, nothing was really changed or anything. I heard they have levels of something in the water in Ridge. I don't remember what it was. I also wanted to say that, to that pessimist guy, he says there's a lot of people who are in favor of Shoreham, and I don't hear it from them. The only people I've talked to are absolutely against Shoreham, and I'm just surprised that people have been against it for so long, and they're still trying to open it. You know, it's at 20th anniversary this year, isn't it?
Of what, the plant being started or being thought of first? It was thought of, I think, in the early 60s.
Really? Wow. So
yeah.
That means that this huge machine has been sitting there for about 20 years?
I think the actual structure has been around for that long.
What happens when you leave your car sitting in your driveway for 20 years?
That's a good point there.
It's not up to date or anything. It was up to date for the 60s, but right now it's just a large pile of junk, I think. And, you know, if you start that place up in 300 years from now when everybody's gone and there's fuel rods laying around somewhere, you know, and it starts leaking whatever container it's in, then somebody's kids are in for big trouble. You know, those things are active for thousands of years, and we still can't make anything to hold anything for thousands of years, except
for
dead bodies, maybe, you know?
That's true, and, you know, a lot of people are saying the solution would be to just send it out into space, you know? I don't know if that's the answer either.
What if it comes back down?
It could come back down, or it could go somewhere else and hurt things we don't even know.
Or it could explode in our atmosphere.
It's certainly stepping into space with our old tradition of destroying first and asking questions later, you know?
I'm just so surprised. Humans just keep creating stuff that they can't get rid of, and then they, you know, just keep mass producing it, you know? All the chemicals that we have already with the garbage problem, and then they want to open up all these nuclear plants. I think they're insane, and anybody who doesn't question it must be nuts. Anyway.
Well, I'm glad to see people questioning it. If you have any information, though, about things going on at any other place, like BNL, if you have clippings you can send us, we'd really like to see those.
I'm surprised nobody really questions what they're doing at Brookhaven Labs. I've just heard so many stories from families of workers and people who live in the area. It's pretty scary.
Well, if you can get any of that to us in any form, we'd really like to do something with it.
Right. Why don't you take a horseback ride out in the trails there?
Oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But, you know, I have no trouble with horses, but horses and 55-gallon drums just don't mix.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. The station is WUSB in Stony Brook. Eric Corley with you up until midnight. We're talking about Shoreham, the big blue and white monster to the east, and what the future holds. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi, Eric. I just wanted to say, like, you were talking earlier about if Shoreham was to go, or if there was an emergency or something like that, and people had to get off the island, you know, building a bridge about over Connecticut, I think they should have, like, emergency charters or something to get over to Connecticut.
What charter buses, you mean? Or?
No, both. Like, just sitting just sitting in Port Jeff or something. Like,
oh, yeah?
Somehow emergency charters, or if there's enough time, come over from Connecticut and just pick, you know, like 30 big ones, 30 big charter boats.
Well, you know, I think the scene at the docks would be kind of kind of hectic, to say the least, and I don't think you'd get anyone to come over from Connecticut to help out in a situation like that. You see, fighting a fire is one thing. You can get out alive, and if you get out alive, you know you're okay. You know, you made it. You survived. But with nuclear power and nuclear accidents, you don't really know. You don't know for
like
years.
Like go over to Connecticut or something like that.
Well, you know, you can go, you can fight, you know, like the people in Chernobyl fought the nuclear fire. You know, it was something. A lot of people gave their lives over there. And those that made it through still don't know what the effect is going to be on them. Maybe 20 years from now, they'll suddenly develop some horrible disease. They don't know. And it's that uncertainty that will make people react in all kinds of ways that we can't possibly anticipate.
But for the time being, you'd be safe if that would work out.
Yeah, for whatever that's worth, I think the alternative of just not going that road is far preferable.
Hmm.
That's the way I felt about it for a while.
I don't know. I don't think they're ever going to figure out a way unless they just close it down. Because if it's open, there's almost no way to get off this island quick enough.
That's true.
Close it down.
That's very true. It's a time bomb.
Why can't they build it? I mean, to not close it down, but just build it somewhere else, like in upstate or something.
Well, you know, that's not nice to the people upstate New York. I mean, why, you know?
But that's at least somewhere that you can get off. I mean, it's an island that's in the middle of nowhere.
Well,
it
never should have been thought of. But they wanted to build three plants here. They wanted Lloyd Harbor. They wanted Jamesport. They wanted Shoreham. So obviously, it was insane. They wanted to build one right next to New York City. You know, so. What were these people thinking of? I don't know. Obviously, a nuclear plant in a less populated area is safer, but it's still not safe. And, you know, it affects other things. It affects the wildlife. It affects the drinking water. And as you saw, when Chernobyl went, it affected the entire world. It was first detected in other countries. Other countries detecting radiation. Now, what about this 10-mile zone? It wasn't limited to 10 miles. There was radioactive water in Seattle, Washington. You know, it made it all the way around the world. So one nuclear accident can affect a lot of people, not just 10 miles. That's crazy.
That much nuclear power there, I mean, like, more than Chernobyl or whatever.
Uh-huh. There's a lot of nuclear plants there.
I mean, is there enough in... is there... more is as much as Chernobyl or whatever in Shoreham, or is it less?
I think there is at least as much. I'm not certain about that though, and I know the design is different, but I've heard from nuclear engineers that the same flaws exist at a few U.S. nuclear plants. And of course, there's always the flaws that you don't know about until they happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all untrodden ground, and I just think the stakes are too high for us to be experimenting with our lives, you know. By all means, let's figure out how the whole thing works, but let's not take unnecessary risks with people that don't want to take the risks, you know.
What you said earlier about having nuclear power up in space, you know, where no one really, unless they find life, no one really cares about, you know.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe that's what the moon is for. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure everything has some kind of purpose in our whole development. You know, I sense a kind of intelligence as to the way it's all been set up. You know, we graduate to a certain point. So maybe this barren piece of rock that is up there floating around is for us to store our nuclear waste. I don't know. I haven't really heard a good argument for any reason why not to do that, I have to admit. So maybe there is a reason, you know, for that to be there.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't support just sending it out into space where some curious, intelligent race might open it up and look at it and instantly be contaminated. Well, talking about all kinds of things, all kinds of fun and exciting things, and today the topic is nuclear power plants, specifically Shoreham, but if you know of any others in your neighborhood, please let us know. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
No nukes.
You know, he waited. He waited a good 25 minutes just to say no nukes. I appreciate that. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Hello?
Convict, criminal.
I don't understand that. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Don't worry, I have no unusual messages, or I'm not going to hang up right away.
I'm not worried.
But I tell you one thing. A lot of people look at the technology, and they, you know, like that jerk, Mr. Radio. First of all, that guy, he's just a glutton for radio. His opinion is completely non-valid. He just loves to talk, and he's getting all these other people whipped up into their, you know, this pro-Shoreham opinion when he probably doesn't even have an opinion to begin with.
Sir, do you think he can really whip people up into a pro-Shoreham frenzy?
Well, I don't know, but it just seems like these people, like a lot of people, will just accept what's carelessly handed to them, and they never accept it. And you get a guy like Mr. Radio, who obviously knows how to talk on the radio. He's, you know, I don't know what it is. He just draws attention to himself all the time, and he's just trying to, I don't know, just be an annoyance. And at the same time, he comes across like someone who's very, he has a very deep-rooted opinion about something,
well,
and I really don't think he
sir,
does at all.
Sir, you are right about one thing. He does succeed in getting people to draw attention to him, because look at what you're doing.
I know. Well, I just wanted to get that out of the way. But
okay.
People look at the technology, like, say, this whole Shoreham issue, and a lot of people say, oh, well, nuclear power is efficient, and it's clean, and it's all this other stuff, and then they're like, you know, they don't even consider the fact of what are you going to do with the waste. But there's another issue, that there's a different technology when it's in the hands of human beings. You know, everyone looks at things and they think of it in an ideal situation, but they don't think of the fact that there's a company called Lilco handling the technology. And look, you know, how many times have we heard the term mismanagement associated with Lilco?
Uh-huh. And I don't think those have been, you know, allegations that are unwarranted. There's something to back them up.
I agree with you. And then, like, nobody, I don't know, well, my point is that, you know, technology is one thing, but then technology is in the hands of corrupt individuals who are greedy and selfish, and they don't really care about what's going to happen 200 or 300 years from now right here. You know, and it's like there was a time where everybody was more concerned about, oh, I have to make this a better world for my children and my children's children. But people are not thinking about that anymore. People are selfish, and they only want to make a buck, and they just want to, you know, they just want to survive so that they can go buy their BMWs and all this other crap associated with, you know, living on Long Island or whatever, or in an affluent area. And I just wish the people would, like, snap out of it and, you know, wake up and really think about what they're doing. And that's the whole thing, is that everybody at Lilco, if they close Lilco, where are they going to go to get a job, you know?
That's true. I do disagree on one thing, though. I know some people are like that. Some people are very selfish and they just care about material things. But to say that people are like this in general, I don't think is fair, because there are so many people that really do care about the truly important things in life, you know, just the pursuit of happiness and the positive things that don't involve money and greed and acquiring things. People that are just into living life to its fullest. To categorize everyone like that, I don't think is fair.
No, I agree with you. I just, you know, I didn't mean it as far as everybody, and it was just an expression or whatever, but I would say that the vast majority of people are really only concerned with making a buck. That's what society dictates to people, is that, you know, either you're going to make money, it's the only way you're going to survive, and it's the only way you're going to be happy. And then, you know, how many people, when they finally achieve that success and that money, like, you know, they commit suicide, and all these rock stars who overdose and everything else like that. I mean, when are people going to realize that's, you know, cash is not the way to make your life to be something meaningful?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But again, I would not say the majority. I would say there is a very...
Don't the majority of people, every day, they go to work for one reason. You know, they have to make money. It's the only way you
right.
can keep your head above water.
Right, but I think it's a minority of people that are aggressively into it. And I think the majority of people just go along because they can't think of anything better.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people just are
blown
by the winds of circumstance.
Right, there are leaders and there are followers. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being either one. But then there are corrupt leaders. There are the ones that pull people into doing things for the wrong reasons, and then there are those people that innocently follow and don't see what's wrong with it.
Right. Well, that's the whole thing about being an American. You know, it's not illegal to question things. It's not illegal to get on the brain damage program every Saturday night from 10 to midnight and voice your opinion. I mean, whether it does any good or it doesn't, you know, or it doesn't do any good, it's still okay to do it, you know. And I know so many people. I mean, I work in a corporate environment, you know, in electronics manufacturing, and you know, people just whatever people in the front office, they hand out memos and they say this is the policy and this is the way it is, and then they just carelessly accept it. They never even question as far as, you know, well, is this the right thing? Is this safe for me? Is it okay? Can they get away with this? Is it legal? Is it illegal? No one questions anything. They just carelessly accept it. And I think that, you know, I just can't understand how people can have a pro-Shorm attitude. It's just beyond me.
I think it's healthy to live your life from the smallest detail to the largest matter with the thought of actually a program here on the radio station is titled of this thought, and I think it's a good thought to live your life by. Consider the alternatives. Always, no matter what you're doing, consider the alternatives.
Exactly. I mean, just try and find out as much information. I mean, I don't know. You just can't make people care, though, you know?
Yeah. Well, don't be frustrated, because there's a lot of good out there, and there's a lot that can happen if you put your head to it.
Well, I agree with you there, and thanks for the positive comment. I'm not totally bitter and totally frustrated. I realize there is a lot of good, you know, like horseback riding out on trails and Shorm.
As long as it's not near 55-gallon drums and leaking, yes.
God, and it's like there's these large puddles out there, too, and it just makes you wonder, well, what's in it?
that's true.
So what's going to be coming up at midnight?
Coming up at midnight, we have the brothers.
And Brother Nick is there?
Brother Nick is here, yes.
Beautiful. Be looking forward to that. Thanks a lot.
Putting together a really good show.
Right.
So that's coming up at midnight. Okay. And who knows, maybe Brother Bill will stop by. You never
know. It's a possibility.
Who
knows?
You never know.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Probably on a horse somewhere.
Yes, probably on a horse. 632-6901. That's our phone number. We're going to get to the phones. We have one open line, so let's have a race to get to that. We're going to come back to the phones in about a minute. I just found a little Shoreham song that's floating around here. So let's see what this sounds like, and then we'll come right back to the phones. This is by Sue Dougherty, called Shoreham.
Adam.
northern state. Don't want it. I guess that's what it all boils down to. That was music by Sue Dougherty here in WUSB. Piece entitled Shoreham. And very happy we had that around here. Nice piece of music there, nice piece of lyrics. I think it sums up a lot of what we've been saying tonight. Our number is 632-6901. We still have 15 minutes on the air, and we do have an open line or two, so give us a call, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes. I have to be one of those people who are for sure.
Okay.
Since we spent millions of dollars to build it, I see no reason to spend millions of dollars to shut it down. Well, we would be saving money to use nuclear power.
Uh-huh. Now, let's say it was at the stage where it was just starting. What would you say then?
Oh, then I would say don't build it at all.
Why not?
Because there's no sense in sending... Since we have it built already, we might as well run it instead of shutting it down.
Right, but if it was at the stage where we were just starting to build it again, you wouldn't support it. Why wouldn't you support it?
Oh, I wouldn't be against it, but I wouldn't be for it either. I would be neutral.
Uh-huh. Well, is there... what I'm trying to get at is there a reason why you don't think a nuclear power plant is a great idea?
It's just people are paranoid that just because Chernobyl blew up, just doesn't mean that Shoreham's going to blow up either.
Well, no, it doesn't mean anything like that, but there is always the possibility. And the fact that there's an evacuation plan is a very, you know, sobering point that there is that possibility.
Well, if Shoreham blows, there's no way that all these people are going to get off the island.
Exactly. And that's something that bothers a lot of people.
Well, since it's built, and it's not going to blow up, first of all, you know.
But how do we know? And blowing up isn't quite the right word, because blowing up implies something that we're all going to know about. There are accidents every day at nuclear power plants, some serious, some minor, where something is released, and they always say, of course, it's not hazardous. But then you find out 20 or 30 years down the road that something happened that wasn't reported, just like we're finding out now. It's something to concern yourself with, you know. And obviously the money aspect is an argument not to just drop the whole thing, because we did spend all this money. But keep in mind, there have been people that have been opposed to this thing from day one, and it's only... it's taken them this long to become recognized and to convince other people. I don't know what the turning point was for the county government and for the state government to suddenly say, enough, we don't want this nuclear plant. I don't know what it was that finally got them to listen. But the fact is they did change their minds. Something must have made them change.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of people out there that are for Shoreham, but they're just afraid to show themselves because they think that it's wrong to state their opinion.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm going on a radio station. I'm stating my opinion. If anybody wants to yell at me, then fine. But that's my opinion. And I just don't see any reason that since it's built now, if it was just starting in the starting stages, I would be like, why build it? You know, there's no sense. I'm happy with my power right now. I don't need nuclear power to make it cheaper.
Uh-huh.
This build, we might as well give it a go and let it go. I mean,
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is no escape. We can't get off the island if it leaks. There's just like no way. There's not no sense in building a bridge. It's not going to help. It's just going to cause more traffic. It's going to be, there's no way you can get billions of people off an island in less than an hour, or less than a day even.
Well, you never know how long it's going to take for the actual danger to occur. You know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
The reason I oppose the plant, and I imagine the reason most people do, is because of all the unknowns. We really don't understand so much. And the fact that the people don't understand, somehow it doesn't comfort me to even know that one person understands it all, because I don't see how anybody could understand it all. There could be something they're just not getting, or some silly mistake that leads to a much, much worse thing. I mean, look at what caused the Challenger to explode. You know, those little O-rings, you know, a little tiny flaw. Look at what makes airplanes crash, little tiny things that, the bigger the apparatus, the more important every little detail is.
Yeah, and the O-rings, they corrected it, and now we put up an all-space shuttle, and it was a successful flight.
Right, and only 7 people died. I'm not going to say that's an acceptable risk, but those people did know what they were getting themselves into. At least I sure hope they did.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot more than 7 people here, and one little mistake could hurt a lot more people. Wouldn't it kill them right away, maybe, but it would. Even if it didn't hurt them in 20 years, it still leaves you with that awful uncertainty, and that's the uncertainty of people near Three Mile Island and Chernobyl and South Carolina and almost every nuclear plant. They all have that uncertainty, and that in itself, I think, is enough reason not to go ahead, certainly in the future.
Yes, but I think that we learned from the Chernobyl mistake that where we can correct our power plant so it could be perfect, and then I wouldn't do the same thing that Chernobyl did.
But do you really think it would be perfect?
Well, no power plant is perfect, but it would be perfect enough that it wouldn't leak.
Uh-huh.
And if it does leak, then, there's nothing we could do. To waste millions of dollars to build a bridge, there's no sense, because you're never going to be able to get millions of people.
Well, I agree with that, both because there's no sense in it and also because it would destroy the environment.
And we already wasted millions of dollars to build the thing, and since it's built, why spend millions of dollars to close it down when you can probably save millions of dollars by using the nuclear power?
Well, if the plant does go online, I would not look for your rates to go down. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's been said that the rates will continue to go up irregardless of what happens to the plant. It will probably cost more to close the plant down, true. I happen to believe that it's worth whatever cost, but I do understand your opinion.
Yeah, well, if the plant was just in its earlier stages, I would say, if they had a vote right now to say, do you want the plant to be built, I would say no, because I wouldn't want to, I'm happy with the power that we have right now.
Well, now, when the plant was being built, were you living in this area then?
No, I was still somewhere out there, and I wasn't born until 1971.
Oh, well, you still could have said something at 2 years old. People are aware of things.
I probably would have voted no if I was born then.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, just let me say hello to Jen on the CB.
Okay.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think that instead of handing out those stupid 3D glasses at the Super Bowl, they should have handed out the Geiger counters to us at the 7-Eleven, and a little more appropriate, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know, they have the nuclear fuel there. Yeah, I don't know what any of this means. I really don't. I don't know, if the nuclear fuel by itself can be a hazard. This and no one else really does either.
Yeah, and like you said, you can't smell, you can't see, you can't anything. It's just there, and you don't know about it.
Yeah, you just have to trust them,
Yeah.
And I found that almost every technological step ahead where people have said, don't worry, I know what I'm doing, something always gets messed up, and they learn something at the expense of everyone else.
Yeah, we're just like guinea pigs.
Right, and, I don't mind being a guinea pig now and then when it involves a phone system or a computer system or something like that, but this is something a bit more important.
Yeah, this is something we still haven't sorted out yet.
Right. If the stakes were just an occasional blackout, I could live with that. But we're talking a lot worse. We're talking something that could really adversely affect our lives and the lives of people that haven't even been conceived yet.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about.
And I also saw in the news that Brookhaven Labs, the radioactive waste was leaking into the groundwater. I saw that on, I think, Sunday, last Sunday or something.
Well, that's something. I don't know how to react to that. That's
just, we have enough problems with the water around here, you know.
I know. The water is really everything to this island. Without our drinking water, what do we have? We don't have much.
Yeah.
Everything else is being destroyed. I would definitely contact your local county legislator, because at least the Suffolk County Legislature seems to have some sense of preserving the island and keeping it from destroying itself anymore, as far as developing or destroying forests and building more houses and shopping centers. They're staunchly anti-loco. I should say anti-Shoreham, but it really means anti-loco because of the, you know, the position Loco has taken and the deception they've been engaged in. So, you know, definitely write to your elected officials or call them and just express your concern, because, you know, a lot of people don't think that that makes a difference, but it does, because I've talked to elected officials and they say, you know, if I had gotten just a few more letters on this, I would have been swayed, but I have to reflect the views that I get. If you don't say anything, your views won't be reflected.
The ideas of a democracy are right there.
Yeah, and, you know, there are some corrupt politicians that ignore it, but the majority don't. It does mean something.
Yeah.
All right?
Hey, I'll let you get to some other calls.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks for calling. And it means something to call us, too. You know, every little bit counts. You know, I guess we're taught that that we don't mean much as individuals, that what we say isn't listened to, that it won't make any difference. But, I don't know, I've spent some time going against that. And I've really, for the most part, met with positive things. You know, speaking up in public meetings, writing letters to newspapers, calling important people. You know, it's something. They do listen. Other people listen. You inspire other people. It's all a chain reaction. As long as it's not a nuclear one. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. It's Bill again.
Bill again? Oh, we had a call from Bill before. I guess you must be related to him.
Yes, same one.
Yeah. Okay, what's up?
Well, you were talking about not having heard any arguments not to put nuclear waste on the moon.
Okay, do you have an argument for me?
Yeah, I have an argument for you.
Go ahead.
Actually, it deals with what you had referred to twice earlier, and that's the Challenger incident. I imagine you're familiar that had Challenger not exploded, the next shuttle shot would have had a payload of 42 pounds of plutonium. Had that blown up, you know, the fallout, just because of the altitude, would be worldwide and would be, you know, a considerable amount of radiation just in the surrounding, you know, atmosphere.
That's a very good point. To get the nuclear waste up there, you have to launch it somehow. And if it falls down again, that could be very disastrous. Unless it's, I don't know, can they place it in these super containers, sort of like a black box in an airliner? Can they?
I imagine. I don't know if anything that large and that heavy, if we're talking about 50-pound drums, it's going to withstand an explosion of that magnitude, and B, if it does, is it going to survive a plummet, you know, a couple of miles down till it hits the ground, considering that, you know, your average gravitational acceleration of, 9.7 meters per second or something like that?
I don't have the foggiest, but you raise a very good point, and that's something that that has to be solved completely before anything like this is even attempted. It's another example of the stakes just being too high for the advantages. So
I just thought I'd put that in as
That's a very good point, Bill. Thanks for bringing it up.
Okay.
632-6901. We are starting to run out of time, but let's see if we can race through these guys. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I have a subliminal message for you, you stupid.
You aren't too subliminal about it, are you? Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, Eric. It's Kim Marie.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Kim Marie is a close personal friend of mine to all our radio listeners. How are you?
Good. Listen, I have a few comments on your not your last caller, but the one before.
Okay.
And I really thought he was contradicting himself, because he says, well, you know, let it run, let Shoreham run because it's fair. And a good analogy of that would be saying, well, we had a large DDT supply, and let's continue to use it, even though we know that we're, you know, causing birth defects in unborn children. And
yeah. Plus, you know, this is, I can never put money ahead of the actual human implications. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the whole argument about how much locals should get from us is irrelevant. Just let's close the plant down, and, you know, whatever we give them, we give them. But just close the plant down. That's the main thing.
It's totally irrelevant because you can't place a price on human lives. And a whole other issue with nuclear reactors in general is that this guy was saying, you know, we've perfected it, and there's no such thing. The reactions that take place in a nuclear reactor there has to be such precision in them, and it's entirely possible for runaway reactions to occur. Uh-huh. And it's something, I mean, yeah, we have the technology to control it, but there's malfunctions that happen, and, you know, how much can you really control?
Good point. That's what it's all about. You know, how much can we as human beings control, especially with the unknown?
And, you know, another point is, what do you do with the waste products? And another point is uranium is a non-renewable resource. And everyone thinks that, I'm not saying everyone, a lot of people think that nuclear is the way to go because we have unlimited supply. We don't.
Uh-huh.
So you spend billions of dollars building these nuclear reactors, and in 40 years you're not going to be able to use them anymore. Well, it's a nice temporary solution if you want to take the risk.
Right. It's a temporary solution. That isn't really brought out enough. These things only last a couple of decades, and then they're no good anymore. Is it worth the cost? It's
not worth the cost.
Economically and as far as physical safety and all of the other things, just I don't understand whose idea this was, but I'd sure like to get him in this room and give him a good talking to.
And you know, the thing that amazes me, because I'm a scientist, is that there's so many scientists that are for Shoreham and for nuclear power, and I totally cannot see the logic if you really weigh the pros and cons.
You know, I think as far as a scientific way of looking at it, scientists are into the challenge, they're into finding out something, and like I said before, I'm not against the exploration and learning things. It's just when the stakes are this high, don't do it in this kind of atmosphere. Don't do it where there are, you know, people involved. Do the research, but not on the people, you know?
Especially on Long Island.
Especially on Long Island, yes.
I don't know how it ever got approved in the first place.
It got approved because people didn't say anything.
Yeah, well, I think we all become a little bit apathetic at times, and the only way we're going to change the things in society that need to be changed is to be slightly more outspoken.
That's right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. And thanks, everybody, for calling. We have to stop here. That's been a very productive 2 hours, I think, and I hope some of us are inspired to speak out and say something, because apathy, look where apathy gets you. It gets you these things you don't want. How in the world did this happen to us? Don't look at me. That's what everyone is going to say, because you have to speak out or it just is going to keep happening. If there are any scientific types out there that understand the way things work and that agree with this premise that the risk just isn't worth it and that the experimentation should go on in a different environment, not in general society and not in Shoreham, then your voice is especially valuable. Give it some thought. We'll be back again next week for another edition of Brain Damage, every Saturday night from 10 to 12. Sorry about that, Brother Nick. Ah, that was a horrible Freudian slip there. Brother Nick is next with Lobotomy. He's here from 12 to 2:30, right?
Yeah, well, providing the Power Surge cats show up this week.
I hear Power Surge was moved.
Were they?
Yeah, they were transferred to Wednesday nights.
Wednesday's midnight.
Wednesday, 12:30, I think, following Turmoil.
My goodness, who the heck comes on after us?
New Voices, I believe.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That means 5 o'clock in the morning shift,
too. That's going to be fun. So stay tuned for all that. That's coming up next here on WUSB Stony Brook. I'll be back again next week. Thanks to everyone who called. Have a fun, peaceful, non-radioactive week. Good night.
in the evening. Don't you?